Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series podcast. I'm James Lee. My mentor always said there were two kinds of communications. There was the kind that started with a little c, and then there was the kind that started with the big C. And the big C was the communications department, but the arguably more important part was the little c communication. That's the kind of thing that every business leader does every time they speak or they write. That's what we're going to talk about today: how business leaders can improve the way they communicate to customers, to employees, and to other key stakeholders. Here to help us is veteran executive communications coach Richard McEwen. Richard has worked with U.S. politicians, global business executives, and subject matter experts ranging from nuclear physicists and computer engineers to information sales reps and college presidents and everything in between. Richard, welcome to the Better Series.
Thank you, James. It's good to be with you.
Well, let's start with, what do most business people get right, and what do they get wrong when it comes to communications?
You know, that's really a good question. And what I'd say is that what most get right is that they have a command of their information, or else they wouldn't be asked to speak or write. They know their topic, but merely knowing the topic is a given. It's just a ticket to the game. But when it comes to what they get wrong, I'd mention three things that many, if not most, business people get wrong when it comes to communication. And the first thing I'd say is that they often speak to their own levels of understanding and interest. In other words, they assume, mistakenly, that those they are engaging with have the same level of experience and understanding and knowledge about their topic. And I call this talking to themselves. And so that's one area. The second area I'd mention is that what many get wrong is that they pile on with information at the expense of perspective. I mean, let's face it, we can get information on our own most of the time, but what we can't get and what is of most value is perspective and context. And as I said, the one doing the communicating generally has a pretty solid grasp on the information, but what they overlook in so many cases is, what is the audience supposed to think or do with this information? And that's where perspective and insight comes into play and is most valuable, and it's often a missed opportunity. And thirdly, many business communicators give very little thought as to how they will share their information. Let me use an example. Let's say you have a few key points you want to make in a speech or a presentation or a meeting or even a one-on-one discussion. Just as critical as what you are going to say is how your audience is going to hear it. In other words, we need to think through how we will treat the key points differently when it comes to presenting them, so that the hearers are going to perceive them as key points. And you know, when it comes to making an impact, how listeners hear things is as important and quite often more important than what the speaker has to say. So those are three things I'd say that most or many get wrong.
Yeah, so that last point. So if I'm a business leader and I'm about to talk to a group of employees, it sounds like what you're arguing is that the approach I take to that opportunity may be different depending on who I'm speaking to. So how I speak to employees may be very different than how I speak to, say, customers.
Definitely. And the primary reason is that employees and customers have different perspectives, not only on your organization, but on you as the organizational leaders. You know, when audiences come to listen to a communicator, be they employees or customers or any other group for that matter, they have three fundamental questions in mind, or at least they have these subconsciously. And they're pretty simple questions, but boy, are they really important. Those questions are, number one, who are you? Number two, why are you here? And then thirdly, and arguably most important, why should I care? You know, those three questions, who are you, why are you here, and why should I care, are a good way to structure your remarks, or at least addressing those three areas are. And of course, the first question, who are you, may already have been addressed, especially with employees who know you or customers with whom you have some sort of connection. But those last two questions, why are you here and why should I care, are critical to engaging, informing, and persuading audiences. And the answers to those questions will tell you how you should communicate differently with different groups, be they employees, customers, industry groups, Wall Street, and so on.
Okay, so let me see if I got this straight. So we now know where most business people need to improve. And we've now just established that how you approach an audience and what you say to that audience is going to vary from audience to audience. So what should we do now to take full advantage when we get the opportunity to communicate with using the little C communications?
I would answer that with messages, messages, and messages. Having key messages is so important. Each opportunity to communicate, whether it's formally or informally, to large groups, small groups, is an opportunity to reinforce key points and messages and the core principles that underlie them. Specific information around those messages and principles, they might change from audience to audience, but consistency in messages will help ensure you relate them to each audience. You know, it's going to make it easier for us as communicators if we know that in each opportunity to communicate, we are going to either introduce or reinforce the same or similar messages. Somebody might be thinking, you know, I would be saying the same thing or mostly the same thing over and over again. What good is that? Well, my response to that is exactly. You may be saying and you may be hearing the same thing over and over again, but your audience is probably hearing it for the first time. In fact, that's one of the secrets to the success of those speakers we look at and think are really, really effective. One of the little secrets there is they don't change their information very often, but they change their audiences almost every time. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't change our messages every now and again. In fact, one way to think about it is to develop a key set of messages that you want to communicate or at least mention at every opportunity over the course of a calendar year, for example. In other words, you want to develop messages that communicate organizational priorities and reinforce those over a certain period of time and then stick with them. It makes it easier not only to prepare information, it makes you better at sharing the information, and it makes a greater impact on your audiences.
Well, you kind of made my blood run cold a little bit when you talk about the executives going, well, I'd just be saying the same thing, because I've worked for people like that in the past who were like, no, I have to have something unique to say every time. And you know, eventually they would realize that doesn't work very well. And if I had a dollar for every time I heard some business executive say, I don't need talking points, you know, I could retire to the beach right now. Is it ever okay to just wing it? And if we do that, is there a risk to it? And the question that I always get is, won't that make me seem less authentic if I'm too scripted?
Well, first of all, let me say that there is a really big difference between talking points and a script. Now, let's accept the premise that most business communicators have a command of their information. Let's accept that that's true, and it is. The challenge is to take from yet limit that base of knowledge to key points they want and need to convey to their audience. My observation over the years has been that winging it and scripting it are two sure ways to fall short when it comes to communicating. Now, let me speak to those two things for just a minute. First of all, a person, you know, they might be able to get by with winging it once, maybe twice, but after that, audiences catch on, and while a communicator might think winging it makes them seem less scripted, audiences oftentimes can see it as not being prepared, or worse yet, not caring enough about the audience to adequately prepare. Now, on the other hand, scripting it is not an effective way to connect with or much less persuade an audience. We become fixated on making sure we get every word right. And, you know, we might get all our information out, but it doesn't have much of an impact on the audience when you're reading a script. They're likely thinking, you know, if you had just emailed me the script, I wouldn't have to be here, which they're probably expressing by text to colleagues or worse yet, tweeting out. But here's something to keep in mind and something I've observed over the years when it comes to business communicators. Most people will use notes to the extent that they have them, but most always more than they need them. In other words, if a communicator has notes, let's say on note cards or on a confidence monitor at the front of the stage. And on those notes are the key points, with perhaps a summarizing phrase. They typically can speak to the topic and the point to the extent they want and need to, and to the depth and breadth that the audience needs. And they can do it without losing a connection with the audience. And people lose connection with the audience when they are tied to a script.
So you kind of alluded to it in your answer there, but what is the role of performance in improving communication? Is that a must-have or is that a nice-to-have skill?
Well, I would say it's both. Like with anything else, we get better at something the more that we do it, and the more that we do it, the more comfortable and confident we get. It's the same with communicating. It's a skill that becomes more and more important as we advance in our careers. And in fact, being able to communicate, whether it be in front of a group or in writing, is one of the professional skills that I say get people as successfully through the second half of their careers as their technical skills got them through the first half of their careers. And it's a reality that the best business communicators are those who, quite frankly, they just work at it. They commit to being better and being effective. And they recognize that as leaders, one of their primary responsibilities is to engage people in a variety of groups, be they internal or external, and to persuade them to lines of thinking or to motivate them to courses of action or inspire them to higher levels of achievement. And when it comes to the success of an organization, the ability to accomplish any of those things is rooted in and dependent on the ability to communicate, especially for its leaders.
You know, I was a chief marketing officer at a company where, and I'll say this before my arrival, the sales deck took nearly an hour to get to the point where we actually showed the product. And I can actually hear heads shaking and amens in the background now. Do you have any comments on the tendency to commit death by PowerPoint?
Do I have any comments? Where do I start? PowerPoint is one of those things that we all, thought was the greatest thing since sliced bread when it came along, and I'm sure that many among our listeners do not remember life before the birth of PowerPoint, but they sure have experienced death by PowerPoint. And that's because presenters have come to over-rely on PowerPoint to the extent that the slides become, the presentation itself. Too many slides and too much information on each slide. We've all been there as an audience, hopefully not as a presenter. And I know I don't want to turn this into a primer on the use of slides, but let me make a couple of observations about how and when to use slides or visuals of any kind for that matter that perhaps the listeners can take away from this and apply. First of all, I have what I call a 6x6 rule. And generally that means don't put any more than 6 lines on a slide, and each line should have no more than 6 words a line. Make that your goal, give or take 1 or 2 maybe, but 6x6, no more than 6 lines, no more than 6 words a line. Second, never ever make plans to use slides throughout a presentation or a discussion. Just like a speaker can be tied to a script, it's just as easy to get tied to slides at the expense of connecting with and persuading your audience. Use slides to illustrate and drive home key points, but don't let the slides become the presentation. That's what leads to death by PowerPoint and likely death of the presentation itself as well. And third and lastly, with respect to slides, think of it this way. The higher one's position in an organization or their title or whatever, the fewer the slides they should use. That goes back to what we talked about earlier. Audiences are most interested in perspective and context, especially from organizational leaders. As a leader, you don't want to diminish the position that you hold by reducing yourself to being, a slide mechanic, because that's beneath the position. So again, the higher the position, the fewer the slides, especially at the executive level.
That's all great points. You've made this point several times that business leaders are oftentimes burdened by knowledge. They know too much. So in our social media-centric world today, how does that work? Because it's hard to dispense knowledge in 280 characters in a tweet or a LinkedIn post. So how does social media fit into this construct you designed?
James, I'm so glad you asked that question, because there's a lot of, I would say, apprehension and confusion and misfires when it comes to the executive in social media. You know, on the one hand, they will hear people tell them that they're in social media because that's where the people are. That's where our customers are. That's today's town square. It's where the community gets together in a gathering point. On the other hand, you've got other people that say to the executive, you don't need to be out there on social media. You're going to be exposing yourself to all kinds of criticism and attacks from all kinds of people. And the risks are too great. And, you know, you don't get in trouble for what you don't say, those kinds of things. Now, the truth, again, lies somewhere in the middle of those extremes. Social media is an important platform. But like any communication platform, we need to use it wisely and intentionally. And there are a few questions to ask as you consider what's the best way to engage and to communicate through social media. The first of those questions is simply, what are you trying to achieve by being part of the social media community? What's the objective for being, quote unquote, out there? And the second, is that where our customers, our constituencies, those people we want to engage and connect with, is that where they are? And if yes, then you need to consider meeting them there, engaging them there. Third, what are you going to communicate? What do you have to say that people care about? And how can you advance your key messages via social media? Because if you're going to be out there saying something, you want to make sure that it is relevant to the audience. And then fourth, what platforms do you need to be active on? Because you don't need to be active everywhere, but chances are that you need to be somewhere. And think through what platforms are most appropriate for engaging those that we want to reach and that we want to influence. And then fifth and last, develop a schedule and stick to it. It's easy to lapse into an uneven pattern or schedule if you don't have a clear objective and clear messages and an established schedule for posting those messages. And social media is one place where it's very easy to confuse motion with progress.
Richard McEwen, the always prepared and articulate executive coach and communications expert, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, James.
And thank you for listening to the BBB National Program's Better Series podcast. You can hear more great episodes on iTunes or your favorite streaming platform. We'll be back soon with another episode to help you grow your business and the latest trends and information.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blubrry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@BBBNP.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guest, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.